I am joined right now by the current X Division champion, Mustafa Ali. I have to say I'm very excited to get this chance to speak with you. It's something I've wanted to do for a very long time, so thank you for taking the time to speak with us this morning. A lot of people are talking about stories right now, obviously coming off of a huge weekend for professional wrestling in general. I wanted to ask you what story are you telling right now for you personally?
This is a story that's been festering since what, 2019, 2018, the first time I, presented the concept of this politician, this guy that says one thing but means another. And it's to me, it's an interesting character because in every facet of life, in every career, every job, wherever you go, there you'll find someone that's like that, right? They'll say whatever they need to say. They go back on their word or whatever like that. And I've always had a personal interest in leaders, people that have spoken for change or rallied the people together. So the story that I'm telling right now is it's true. It's someone that's been in the industry, someone that has the talent, the look, the skill, the background. A bit of a PR dream, I would say. And he hasn't quite figured out his way. So he's going to create his way. He's going to make strategic alliances. He's going to get the people behind him. He's going to launch a campaign. And he might have some ulterior motives here and there, but the overall idea is that he's doing it for the greater good. If he happens to benefit along the way, so be it. But that's the idea of it. It's okay. How do people, if I want something, if I want a position, how do I get it? Well, you run for office. You run for it, right? You put people that you make strategic alliances, like I mentioned. You put a cabinet together. You put a team together, and then you go get it. And that's what the Mustafa Ali campaign is already doing.
It's interesting hearing your answer because when I first saw it, and you mentioned like the first iteration a few years ago, and even when you introduced it on TNA TV, I thought it was pretty straightforward. I thought you were being honest, but I didn't think you were trying to skew people either way. And you know how, like real life politics can go like very polarizing now. So it's interesting to hear you say that you might have ulterior motives. You might try to benefit personally, even though it's for the greater good. So.
Well, it might be misinterpreted as, ulterior motives, but again, stay tuned and find out. But I wanted to give your question, a just answer. So it's, I think the best stories are not when things are super convoluted, but there are some complex layers to the character itself. Like the story itself is direct. But then you always wonder, is that person's intention true or not? To me, those are the best stories.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. There's layers to it. You're not really making people, you're not forcing anyone's hand. They're kind of making their own decision and hey, is this what he's doing? No, is this,
As they
they're picking
should,
their
we
own
should all be
sides.
free. Absolutely. The freedom of choice is a beautiful thing.
And I see your Pro Wrestling Illustrated cover behind you.
Oh, that little thing, I don't know how they got into the shot. Yeah, it's just a little thing that I did just a couple months into my free agency as an independent candidate. I think I'm only the second TNA X Division champion to ever be on the cover. I think I'm the first Muslim solo PWI. Just these little historic accolades that I just decided to do in my time off. But yeah, go ahead, carry on.
I respect it. I think, sometimes people think you should be subtle about it or,
Oh, but I am. I don't.
reserved, but I mean, Barry Horowitz here. Like, I think you should celebrate it. That's a tremendous honor. Like you said, you made history. I believe you're correct. You're the first Pakistani wrestler, Muslim wrestler to be on a solo cover of the magazine. And you know how long the magazine's been around. And I also know you tweeted that having it happen during Ramadan was also a really great honor. So
Yeah, just a cherry on top. I mean, not that I could eat a cherry right now because I'm fasting, but the cool thing is a fan had tweeted at me something that I used to post sketches that I did on the road in my early days of WWE. And one of the sketches I did, it was a sketch of me as a child reading PWI, and the sketch that has a little air bubble, like the thought that's coming out of the child. And it says, "Why doesn't anyone look like me?" And this was back in 2016. I had sketched this. So to come full circle now, she sent me that photo. She like tweeted it out and she goes, "Hey, you sketched this." And I was like, "Oh, super cool that I now get to put the sketch in the PWI magazine cover side by side and go, okay, well, I've taken care of that."
Yeah. I have one more comment about the new character you're doing before I move on. I want to talk, obviously, want to talk about TNA Rebellion, but this is sort of a shift from maybe what people know you as. Like you had the light with the mask and then the glove. How would you describe where that character was, or where you were personally with the mask and the glove in that sort of era compared to who you are right now?
So, I would say the insecurities that I had in my early run in WWE were all based upon what I thought people would perceive me as because of my name and my religion, right? Like coming up on the independence, growing up in America, the name Mustafa Ali wasn't warmly received. And it was an unfortunate thing where I knew, like, oh, if I lean into these bad guy tendencies, if I lean into these, historical stereotypes of what someone that looks like me or has a name like mine would be, it's kind of easy, right? Like I'll get an automatic reaction. But the hard hill to climb, the thing that I wanted to do was, hey, can I truly become a fan favorite despite what I perceived as an obstacle? So the big thing was how do I present a character that's relatable to people that might not feel like they relate to me? So while brainstorming, while coming up, you say, well, what do you want to be? Like, well, I kind of want to be like a shining light in the world. Like, I want to be someone's light in the dark. And I kept saying stuff like that, like, because people would talk about, like, oh, you're so positive, this and that. So then I thought, how do you become the physical embodiment of light? Like, how do you, I can say I want to be the light, but I go, what if that's my character? What if I'm the light? Like, that's the whole thing. So I know Vince was very up in the air about it because, and I understand, like, what do you mean by being the physical body of light? So it took a lot of back and forth. But the big thing that Vince and at the time the creative team loved was it's very easy merchandise, the mask, the glove. And I remember going into a meeting and I was a big PowerPoint presentation guy. I would have these little packets to hand everybody. And I had gone to some Disney on Ice thing with my daughter. And they're selling these little light up figures that cost like $3, but they're selling them for like $45. And every single kid's got it because they want. And that was my big presentation. I'd go, hey, light up glove. It'll cost you $5 to make it. Sell, and we'll have the whole arena doing this. Funny story, when they actually made the light up glove, when they finally figured out how to produce it, I had already turned heel and started retribution. So it was like years later, they go, hey, we made your glove. I'm like, oh, cool. I don't wear it anymore. So the big idea behind that was kind of just, okay, how do we, it sounds really bad, but the attention was like, how do we soften up the name Mustafa Ali? Like, how do we make him more like family friendly? We're a kid that, again, that doesn't relate to me or how I look. And it worked, man. Like, I had kids dressing up as me in Halloween. I had a few signings here and there, and people would wear the light. Like, it was a thing. So people still come up to me and put up their hand to do the light gesture. So it was cool, and I think it's something that had the merchandise, like, and the right storyline, the right opponent. It would have been something that like people got behind. A lot of people always ask me about, like, oh, do you still have the light up stuff? And I do. But yes, the initial concept behind it was just to be the light in the dark.
Campaign buttons are probably DIY friendly and a low overhead cost, so
They are sold out already, my friend. I need to do a new order, but I appreciate the suggestion. Yes.
So I want to talk about TNA Rebellion now. I know you have your opponent is set up, Jake something. I was surprised. I
Go
know,
on.
I know, I know. I'm actually surprised you've never, and this is from Cage Match, so if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I'm surprised you guys have never met before TNA.
I'm glad we never met before, too. The guy's the size of three men. How is that fair? Did TNA, by the way, go ahead and explain on the match graphic that it's a 3-on-1 handicap match? Did they do that?
I don't think that was, if it is, it's very small print.
Fake news. Fake news. See, this is the thing I'm talking about. It's the TNA X Division. I'm bringing the best super junior heavyweights together. I'm creating this, almost a revival of what the X Division used to be. I'm trying to make the X Division great again. When you think of the X Division, who do you think of? AJ Styles, The Amazing Red, Low-Ki, Christopher Daniels. Pioneers in our industry. And then someone wants to throw on, well, the X Division's No Limits. What does No Limits mean? No, that can't be a thing. There has to be some limits, right? In life. Like you can't have no limits. There's a speed limit. Can you imagine there's no speed limit? Anyway.
I live outside of Philadelphia, so people drive like there is one. There is not one anyways.
But it's anarchy, right? It's not safe. It's not good.
No.
It's not for the greater good. Limits are there to preserve us, to protect us. So I want to bring limits to the X Division. I want to get rid of this no limits mantra. It's garbage. And Jake something's a perfect example. He is the size of three men. How is that fair? So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, I want you to all to jump on to the what's it called now? X. Jump on to X with
I
you
still call it
crazy
Twitter.
fans. I do too. It's probably old age. But anyways, I've come up with a novel concept, a new campaign, and Jake something. He simply is not right for the X Division. So I want all of you to tweet out hashtag something ain't right. Go do it right now. And maybe the management TNA, the people that have created this unjust match, maybe they'll reconsider and finally take Jake something out of this match and give it to a more deserving opponent, someone, south of 200 pounds.
All right, who on the current roster would be a worthy opponent, a worthy candidate?
I'm a very charitable man, Mr. Pritchard. I'm a very charitable man. So whoever needs the charity, if Josh Alexander would like to be relevant once again, he could jump in the ring with me. If Mr. Bailey would, what's his name? Speedball, hardball, curveball, whatever his name is, if he wants to jump in as well. I am a charitable man. I want to give back to these individuals. They need the attention, they need the adulation, they need the competition. So, I'm sure fans would love those two matches. And again, a very charitable man, I would happily donate my time to Mr. Alexander or Mr. Curveball, Hardball, whatever it is. Speedball? Mr. Speedball, yes.
You'll get it. You got his last name right. Bailey.
Oh, I thought it was Ball, but go on.
You mentioned his name, so I want to talk about this match. Amazing Red, you got to step into the ring with him this weekend.
What an honor for him.
Successfully defended your title. He's another TNA legend, another X Division legend. What was that like for you? You just said it was an honor for him, but what about your feelings?
Amazing Red, like you had mentioned, is a pioneer in the industry. He's done so much, not just for TNA and the X Division, but I would say the industry as a whole. A lot of people may not remember, but he had announced his retirement, I want to say in 2019. And Red told me this. I had gone around the WWE locker room and got like Sanjay Dutt, Rey Mysterio, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, a slew of WWE superstars to kind of send him like, hey, thank you, Red. Like Sasha was in it, Bayley was in it. And we sent, I tweeted it at Red. And Red said, oh man, like that video like really got me out of a slump because he's like, I kind of felt like nobody cared, And then he was like, it was that video that kind of set up this domino effect of like online support and love for him and whatnot. And then he kind of thought like, oh, maybe I still have this in him. So Red's very selective of who he gets in the ring with now at this stage in his career. So the fact that he was so eager to get in the ring with me, it was cool. Again, when I started out 20 years ago, I was 16. So when I had started out when I was 16 years old, training for independent wrestling, my trainer at that time had handed me a VHS tape. Yes, folks, a VHS tape. And he's like, if you want to, you know, if you want to be, you gotta, if you want to be good, you gotta study this guy. This is the guy right now. And the piece of tape on the VHS tape said, "The very best of the Amazing Red." And I remember popping that VHS tape and just watching. So I got to tell Red this in person in Philadelphia in the ring. I told him, I said, I watched that VHS tape, and I knew when I was 16 that I would be great, but I don't think I'll ever be amazing because there's only one amazing Red. So I got to tell him that, which meant did mean a lot on a personal level. On a professional level, I gotta be honest with you, Amazing Red, he's a legend. He's the man. He's done a lot. The man didn't put a scratch on me. Not a dent in my armor. Never at one point in the match did I question myself if I'm good enough to hang with the Amazing Ring. Just like Mr. Alex Shelley, just like Mr. Chris Sabin, just like all these legends beforehand that I have decimated in my path. There's no one on my level right now, man. I am the best super junior heavyweight in the world right now. I am the TNA X Division champion. I'm undefeated. What am I like now? 26 and 0 or something? I'm talking to my press secretary over there. 26, 27, 20, you know, just unstoppable. But again, Mr. Pritch, I've been doing media all day, and I'd like to issue this challenge out to your listeners as well. Somebody, anybody, please put a dent in my armor. Scratch me at least a little bit, but make me doubt myself for once in my life. I haven't found that man. I thought maybe Mr. Red would do it, but he failed. Mr. Shelley failed. Mr. Saban failed. Mr. Something will also fail. All these men will try it and they will fail. But my plea, you know, I'm a charitable man. I hope someone gives something back to me. I want someone to challenge me, make me doubt myself. For the first time in my existence, make me doubt myself. Anybody? Nobody.
I admire the confidence. Like I said, TNA Rebellion's coming up. Anything else you'd like to plug or promote before we get out of here?
Ladies and gentlemen, the parting words that I would like to give all of you is to thank you. I wish you all well, and to remember that in Ali, we trust.